The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 10th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And joining me this morning is my dear friend Judy Elliott, who's going to be our engineer. And I also have Ken with me this morning because he's going to do a little bit of reading. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my eyesight this morning, and I asked him to read a few of what I consider important things that we need to go over. Well, as everybody knows, I've been gone for about a month now because I had on January 1st, I had a fall. And I'm recovering right now, and I have to say I'm really pleased how quickly I am recovering, but I'm having some other challenges. I mean, being 84 is not the easiest thing in the world, but we manage it. And I want to do a shout out to my son-in-law, Dave Jensen, who came over to the house this weekend and redid my whole shower so I could do a shower. I have to wear a brace on my leg. I had surgery. And so some of the things are a little bit complicated these days, and getting in the shower was quite a challenge. But because of him, I managed to do it, and I'm really, really happy about that. And I want to thank all the people again, once again, for all the folks that are sending me such nice messages, wonderful cards, and also just putting me in their prayers. It really has helped. You know, community is very, very important, particularly when you have these challenges. Well, as you know, this month is Black History Month, and I am really excited to report on some of the things that I found about particularly Black women. You know, right now we're at a time where we really need to have a little bit of confidence. We have to be able to stand up and speak out and not be afraid to let our voices be heard. And oftentimes women are silenced, or they're too shy, or whatever it is. And there's so many different women that we can use as examples. And you know, this year is very, very interesting because they're honoring, for Black History Month, they're honoring African Americans and labor. And last week I reported that the whole thing around the labor, the first strike that people had, or particularly Black people had, was a Pullman and maid strike. And actually, we're celebrating 100 years since that happened. And what was so interesting to me, as I was reading it, they gave a lot of credit to many, many men. And I asked, where are the women? You know, how were they involved? I know they were involved. And so when I did some research, I found some very interesting information. And so I'm going to have Ken. Ken's going to read that for us right now, talking about the women that were involved in the early strikes with the African-American women and maids. So go ahead, Ken. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Okay, Elaine, I will. The role of women is often overlooked in the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. It was pivotal, especially among African-American and Chinese-American women working as Pullman maids. These women, although highly educated, were categorized as unskilled service workers, responsible for cleaning berths, attending to sick passengers, and offering free manicures. 6 weeks after the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters' founding, women formed the Women's Economic Councils, later recognized as the International Ladies Auxiliary to the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters in 1938. Many had backgrounds in union activism, particularly from the garment industry. This organization focused on fundraising and spreading pro-union information. However, activism often led to the firing of the maids. Notable figures like Rosina T. Tucker and Helena Wilson played crucial roles in the union's growth and civil rights activism. Frances Albrier was instrumental in educating African-American women about the importance of unionizing and supporting their rights during the 1920s.
That's amazing, Ken, don't you think? You know, when all of a sudden you realize that women really played a strong role, and oftentimes in history they're left out. And I think it's very important that we understand these things. And the reason I think it's important is because, particularly in these times when it's very important to stand up and to let your needs be heard. So, you know, here we're fighting for democracy. We're fighting for our government is kind of falling apart right in front of our eyes. And we need strength. And women are losing a lot of the rights that they have gained. And they need to stand up and need to make sure that we gain them back. So I think this is a very good example of women coming together, particularly in those times. And actually, when you look at the history of it, not only were they fired, but many of them were brutalized, where they were got death threats, and they were threatened with all kinds of things to stay off the lines and not to strike like they were striking. So I think it's very important that we understand our history. Like I say all the time, our history is our strength. And these women definitely exhibited a lot of strength at that time. And thank you so much for reading. And I just love hearing when you read things.
I'm always happy to hear about the role of women and what they're doing.
You know, it's kind of challenging, you know, particularly right now. And what I'm trying to do during these last two shows is trying to help particularly women to have more confidence to stand up and to understand whose shoulders they're standing on. I thought for this show it might be interesting to present several women who sang different songs and look at some of the meanings behind the song. One of the songs I'm going to be playing is by Maya D'Angelo, and it's going to be "And Still I Rise," and she'll be reading her poem, and I think it's just an amazing poem. It's also a statement about women standing up and saying, "This is who I am. This is who you're going to accept, and don't be so rigid about it, and don't be so judgmental about me." And she really makes a very, very strong point. And then I want to talk about Ida B. Wells. And Ida B. Wells was a champion to me. She was an editor, and she actually owned her own newspaper during a time when black women were being so discriminated against. In fact, during there was a parade, the Women's March, in the 1919, before the year before they got the vote. And they wanted the black women to stand at the back of the line. And Ida B. Wells said, no way. And she went right in the front of the line and just stood there and really took a lot of wrath for it. But I think it's very important. And I'm going to have Ken read a little bit about her, because she is really worth knowing and really gives me an inspiration as far as that goes. And then I want to play a song that says, "I Ain't Gonna Turn Me Around." In other words, we are not going back. I mean, that's what the sign is right now. Everybody's saying we're not going backwards. You know, they want to take away all our rights. They want to make these abortion bans across the United States. I mean, for God's sake, I don't understand that. You know, I'm not for abortion. I'm not against abortion. I'm for choice. And I don't know why people have such a hard time with that. You know, they say it's a religion. You're killing a child. Well, look at, we're killing children with bombs all across the world. You know, our children are starving. You know, we have homeless here on the streets that have children that have no place to live. And here we are, you know, they want to take our rights away. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. So I think those are very important songs to listen to. And I find my inspiration through looking at history. I really do. I find my inspiration is very, very strong. And I hope that these shows that I'm doing right now, I really hope that they do inspire women to stand up more. I mean, there are protests going all across the United States right now. And about last week, they had a major protest across the United States. But, you know, people come out and then they're gone. You know, the newspaper might, you know, put one or two articles in there, and then all of a sudden nobody knows what's happening. But what you can do, other things, you know, you can write a letter to the editor. You can call in on talk shows. You know, some of these I love listening to some of these conservative talk shows and call them up and give them your opinion. You can make a small donation, you know, to an organization that you feel inspired about. All kinds of things, all kinds of ways we can get involved, but the most important thing is to do something. And for parents, I think it's important that they show up at some of these meetings for their school boards to see what's going on, what is happening, why are we cutting back so strongly? Why do we have so much money for wars and yet we are saying that we don't have money for education? It doesn't make sense to me. So we're going to take a musical break right now, and we're going to play the song, Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. And when we return, I'm going to talk a little bit about what the song meant and just pick a few little stanzas from it and discuss it a little bit. So let's go ahead and play that song. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And you've just been listening to a song called Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. And that was by Lydia Violet. And that's one of my favorite songs. I think it's just amazing because that's the way it is today. We're not going to let anybody push us back. It's the same thing. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. And I think it's a very interesting song, but just for a little thing here. For the folks listening, just tuning in, I just want you to know the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, you know, this is a very interesting song, you know, and when I listen to it and I listen to the word, and, you know, when she says, ain't going to let nobody turn me around, you know, she's going to keep moving forward. You know, this song was particularly written during the civil rights movement in the 60s and the 70s and really had an impact on people. They ain't going to let nobody turn me around. I'm going to be marching one foot in front of the other and I'm going to keep moving forward. And when you think about the civil rights movement and you think about particularly what women were engaged in, the struggle that we had at that time, actually the civil rights movement actually motivated the women's movement because they saw that the black people were standing up and were demanding their rights. Then the women really got a lot of confidence from that. And particularly even to this day, black women are so involved politically that it's inspiring to me to see them stand up, to see how many groups there are. And it evolved out of songs like this. And it's really important to bring these songs back because Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. That's a very important statement. That means we're not going to go backwards. We have to go forward. Now, I'm not really clear, but they're still looking to you know, I know that President Biden did something with the Equal Rights Amendment, but it's still now it's in court. And I don't know what is happening with it, but I wish they would make up their mind and just get it on the Constitution already. Why that they won't make the statement that women have equal rights is just amazing to me. It's stunning to me. And what's stunning to me also is I see some of the women that are talking in favor, say, of these abortion bans or in favor of cutting some of these different programs that people survive on. It shocks me. I think they forget whose shoulders they're standing on. I think they forget how difficult it was to get them a place at the table, and that we really have to look at that. So I really encourage folks, when you're doing a march or you're doing a presentation, look at songs like Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. Look at the history of that song. Listen to what she's saying. And then think of back when they were fighting for civil rights. You know, I remember the first time I saw dogs. You know, they were turning dogs on people. I saw when the first little girl that went to school, little black girl that went, was surrounded by the National Guard and all these people yelling, get out of here, go home, and all the struggles that they went on. That we have to recognize that it's not easy. Freedom has never been easy. Democracy has never been easy. And it does not happen unless we, the people, make some sort of statement. So I really, really, really appreciate this song. In fact, I wonder if she's still alive. It would be kind of nice to have her on the show to talk about what's going on. Well, we're going to take a musical break again. And the song I'm going to be playing is a song called Strange Fruit. And it's by Billie Holiday. And, you know, Billie Holiday was a wonderful, wonderful singer. And she had one problem, and that was that she was addicted to heroin. And there's also a thing about many times she was arrested. They don't know if it was planted on her or what happened. But she was very, very popular. And, of course, she was a black woman. And when she sang this song, it just about cost her career. And the song is called, you know, Strange Fruit, and it's actually talking about lynching in the South. That when you think about it, I was watching a program on Netflix about two or three nights ago. It was a story about this black man who was a slave but who was also a preacher and then also turned revolutionary. And it really showed how difficult it was for people at that time. And yet they still struggled, and yet they worked for hundreds of years to get their freedom until finally it happened. But when you look at what they went through and you look at how they stood up, you know, again, it shows that it's not easy. And not right now, it really looks kind of dark. And so I think it's important that we look at the past and we look at what we have come through. So let's go ahead and play that song by Billie Holiday. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ida B. Wells. I'm going to have Ken Reed read something about her, and then have a little discussion around. We'll talk about the song, and we'll also talk about Ida B. Wells. And the reason Ida B. Wells I kind of put integrated with the Billie Holiday song is because that's what Ida B. Wells did. She went into the Deep South to report on these lynchings and made many, many changes. She was actually the founder of the NAACP, which is a very powerful organization. Even now in our own community, Sonoma County, we have a very strong NAACP. So it's been a long time organization, and she was very much involved in that. So let's go ahead and play Strange Fruit, and then we'll be back to talk about the song itself and also to talk about Ida B. Wells.
got us swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain together, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange
welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And we just were listening to Strange Fruit, sung by Billie Holiday. And, you know, it was an interesting song because Billie Holiday had no idea what was going on down south. And then she went and visited, and she actually experienced and saw a black man being lynched. And she was actually was shocked. And when she found this song, she decided that she was going to go ahead and she was going to record it. And it caused such controversy that it just about lost her career. In fact, she was arrested after the song was recorded and released and went through a lot of trials and tribulations because of it. But she felt this strong desire and this strong urge to, she had to say something. She had to speak out for her people. She really paid a price for it. So I want to make a special shout out to Billie Holiday and just say thank you, Billie. Thank you for your tenacity and your willingness to go ahead and do that song and let people know some of the struggles that were going down south. Well, Ida B. Wells, the reason I mention Ida B. Wells is because that's what she did. She was very, very, she was born into slavery. And when she got her freedom, she decided that she was going to become a newspaper writer and editor, and she ended up owning newspapers. In fact, I'm going to have Ken read a little bio on her because I think she's well worth learning about. And the reason that I integrated her with this song is, like I said, is because she went down to the Deep South to report on the lynchings that were going on. And, you know, to this day, they don't have laws against lynching. I mean, there was something that came up in Congress about 2 or 3 months ago that was voted down. So, I mean, there's still a level of racism in this country that we really have to look at. And when you look at what Ida B. Wells was reporting on and who she was, it'll give you an idea once again of the courage that women had during this time. And I really believe that she had a tremendous amount of courage. So Ken, let's go ahead. I really appreciate that you're doing this reading for us. I mean, I love listening to your voice, and I want to just do a little applause for you, Ken, for helping me out in this show. So let's go ahead. Let's read that, and then we'll come back and we'll commentary on it.
Ida B. Wells grew up during the Reconstruction era after the Civil War, a time of significant social change and hardship. She was born in 1862 in Holly Springs, Mississippi, and was the oldest of 8 children. Her parents, who had been enslaved, valued education and made sure their children learned to read. After her parents died of yellow fever when she was only 16, Ida became the head of her family, working as a school teacher and continuing her education. In 1881, she moved to Memphis, Tennessee with her sisters. As the South transitioned into the Jim Crow era, a harsh system of racial segregation emerged. At 22, Ida challenged the system when she was forcibly removed from a train for sitting in the ladies' car, leading her to sue the railroad, although the court ultimately sided with the company. In 1886, after criticizing Memphis schools, she lost her teaching job there. So she turned to journalism, becoming the editor and co-owner of the Memphis Free Speech and Headlight. A major turning point in her life came in 1892 when her friend Thomas Moss was lynched. This lynching fueled her crusade against lynching, a brutal method of white terrorism. Ida documented 728 lynching cases using her writings to challenge the false accusations often made against black men and to expose the racial injustice behind these acts. In addition to fighting lynching, Ida was an advocate for women's suffrage, co-founding the Alpha Suffrage Club in 1913 and marching in the 1913 suffrage parade in Washington, D.C. She continued her activism for decades, supporting anti-lynching legislation and encouraging political participation among African Americans. Wells' legacy was honored with a posthumous Pulitzer Prize in 2020 for her courageous journalism.
Thank you, Ken. That was really great. I mean, it really gives you a sense of who Ida B. Wells was. How did you feel reading that? Did you feel good about that, or what was your thought as you were reading it?
I thought that Ida B. Wells was a very courageous woman, and she was standing up for what she believed in.
You know, one of her things is she says the way to right to weigh the right wrongs is to shine the light upon them. And I think that's what we're doing right now as people stand up across the country against what's happening. And, you know, it's a challenge right now. You know, it's almost like when you have things so easy and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're just struck in the face like, oh, my God, what's going on? And I think sometimes when you shine light upon something and you know it's the wrong thing that's happening, oftentimes it educates you. It lets you know, wow, you have to ask yourself the question, how did this happen? You know, and one of the things that Ida B. Wells was really big on, and that was taking responsibility and standing up, you know, looking at what's going on and standing up and not being afraid to express your opinion or to write about what was happening. And she paid a price for it. But at the same time, she ended up being recognized as such a powerful, powerful woman. And, you know, there was a film called Iron Jawed Angels. And that shows the story of the suffrage movement. It was made, I believe, by Sony. And you see in the film, you actually see Ida B. Wells confronting Alice Paul, telling her, hey, I'm not going to go to the back of the line, and just march right to the front. It was an amazing, amazing scene. And you could see the power that that woman expressed. And you could see that she became fearless because she had such a strong purpose. And I think that's what happens to us. When we really have a strong purpose, we can stand up and we can say what's on our mind and we can protest and defy or resist what is happening. In fact, that's the call today. It's resist, resist, resist. And a lot of people are coming out on the streets, and a lot of people are protesting, and a lot of people are writing letters to the editors and doing whatever they can to push back on some of the rules and regulations that our government at this time is trying to put upon us. Well, we're going to take another musical break, and there's a wonderful, wonderful poem by Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou was a great writer, and she wrote many, many great poems, and one of her poems was And Still I Rise. I just love this poem. It just really gets to the core of what we're talking about, that no matter what happens to you, no matter what people say to you, I mean, that's why we always do the Women's Pledge at the end of the last Monday of the month. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And I really believe in this particular poem by Maya Angelou and Still I Rise really expresses exactly what we're saying in that pledge, that no matter what, no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what people say to you, you can still stand up, you can still speak your truth, and not be afraid. So let's go ahead and play that song, and when we come back, we'll have a little discussion about it.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave, and so.
Well, welcome back, and you're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. Wow. Every time I listen to that poem, it just gives me chills. It really does. I mean, it says so much. Still I rise, no matter what. Like I said before, prior to playing the song, no matter what they throw at her. You know, I love when she says, am I too sassy? You know, am I too beautiful? You know, who do you think you are to even criticize me? No matter what is going on, still I rise. And I'm going to have Ken read a little bit of a blurb that I wrote about this song that I think is really, really interesting. So go ahead, Ken. Why don't you share that with our audience?
I also liked how Maya Angelou brings out her humanity in it, even the erotic part of her humanity. Now, often this eroticization of another people can also be a put-down of them, of objectifying them. And this is what Elaine has me read. What a powerful and inspiring poem. Maya Angelou's Still I Rise is an anthem of resilience and strength. She confronts the struggles of oppression, discrimination, and hate through every obstacle. She declares her unstoppable rise. The imagery is vivid, the message empowering, and the rhythm unyielding. The lines speak directly to the power within each individual. Ida B. Wells once said that she honestly believed that she was the only woman in the United States who ever traveled throughout the country with a nursing baby to make political speeches. So even her duties as a mother, she still incorporated that into her purpose, the greater purpose.
Well, also, when you think about Ida B. Wells and Maya Angelou, you know, you'd think they have the same principles, the same idea. And it's so interesting when you think about, especially Ida B. Wells traveling with her children, you know, and doing these speeches and putting herself in such dire issues, you know, that people can, it becomes like a target for people to discriminate against and to say things against. And then when you look at Maya Angelou, her coming out and her background also, she also had a very struggled life at the beginning, and to what she achieved to move on and to do some of these poems that she's presented. It's just an amazing group of women. You know, and then also when I listen to Maya Angelou, I also think of what Becky Hobbs said and her, you know, we're one people, one planet, one heart. You know, it's so interesting when you start thinking how we separate each other. We separate each other through our color, the color of our skin, by our religions, by our political parties, by our economics, you know, by the neighborhoods we live in. I mean, everything is separate instead of coming together as one humanity, one people, one planet, one heart. You know, when you listen to these women and listen to what they stand for, you know that's what they're struggling for. They're struggling for some sort of equality, acceptance. And I really have to scratch my head all the time. And I wonder, why is it so difficult? What makes it so difficult for us to live in peace and harmony with one another? I mean, it seems that going to war, you can just click a finger and then all of a sudden you got the budget. But when it comes to taking care of people or bringing people together, all of a sudden it becomes a struggle. So I think these women that we honor today are just amazing. They're just amazing women, and they're definitely part of Black history, which is so important. And oftentimes women are not mentioned. Women are forgotten. They forget that what happened. Even during the suffrage movement, as you mentioned with Ida B. Wells, she started a suffrage organization, and how difficult it was for Black women. They wanted them to go to the back of the line. And finally, when we had the civil rights movement, that's when Black women actually got the vote. So it's been a struggle, and it continues to be a struggle. And it breaks my heart on so many levels when I think about it. I think that's the purpose of Women's Spaces. The more I delve into it, the idea of bringing forward the accomplishments of women and to remind women of whose shoulders they're standing on. So easy to take the other side and not stand up and just become complacent. You know, that's so important. Our children are the future, and the only way we have a future for them is if we do stand up and say, no, enough is enough. This is not good enough. This is not good enough for us. We have to stop these wars, and we have to stop figuring a way to live together and to not judge one another. This one's better because you have more money, or this one's better because you're pretty, or whatever is going on. Well, we're going to take another musical break here, and there's another song that I want to play that I think is very important. It's by Ellen Bookstale. It's called By My Silence, I Give My Consent. Because when we're silent and we don't speak out, then we're saying it's okay. You know, I know for myself, when I find out people don't vote, I don't even want to hear their opinion. I mean, the least you can do is go out and vote. I mean, elections are won by very narrow margins sometimes, and you just imagine if more and more people came out, what would the results be? So it's really important to really look at that. And this song was written to inform people of what happens when you don't speak out. You know, right now they're having a big, they're talking now the immigrants are the enemies. When Ellen Bookstale, what she's singing about was during World War II, when the Jews were the enemies, when they were violating the Jews and deporting them and putting them into camps and doing the things that they were doing. I mean, and now today, you know, here we're talking about immigration, all the immigrants, when we're a country of immigrants. I mean, I'm a child of an immigrant. We're all immigrants. I mean, I don't understand how they discriminate against one population and another population. And when you look at people of color, you know, oftentimes, especially your Hispanic populations, oftentimes the people are brought in because they need them to work in the field. They need them to work. When I was in the hospital, I couldn't believe how many different religions there were, how many different ethnicities there were, how many different countries that were representative. I mean, it was amazing. If those people had not been there, these so-called immigrants, I would not be on the air today. They helped me to recover and to have my normal life, so to speak, back again. So let's go ahead. Let's play By My Silence by Ellen Bookstale. And when we come back, I'll do a little commentary on the song. And I hope you enjoy it.
I'm not a communist, so when they came for the communist, I held my tongue. minded my own business like a good neighbor. I trusted that justice was done.
I didn't ask what was their crime. It was their sadness wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent. For my silence, I gave my consent. For my silence, gave my consent.
I am not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars like cattle in boxcars and then taken away.
I didn't ask what was their crime, it was their sadness, wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent. For my silence, I gave my consent. For my silence, gave my consent. I didn't care when they came for the unionists, came for the socialists, took the powerless. I'm not a terrorist, I'm not an immigrant, I'm native born,
faithfully.
I didn't care what was their crime
till their sorrow turned into mine. Their sorrow turned into mine.
I was okay, 'cause I was a citizen,
and I was free.
I didn't care, now there's nobody there, no one to speak out for me. Give my consent.
Wow, what a powerful song that is. By my silence, I give my consent. There are so many times that I'm confronted with things and that song just whirls in my head. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I'm really excited today. I have Ken Norton, our co-producer, who's been joining me, who's been reading some wonderful things and wonderful ideas that I have presented. You know, I'm having a little bit of problem with my vision, so Ken has really stepped in. So, Ken, you know, you're really familiar with that song. Talk a little bit about what is that song about anyway?
Well, the song By My Silence is based on a Lutheran minister, Martin Niemöller, who wrote a poem which chronicled his resistance to speaking out. And then what happened is, you know, they took away the union leaders, they took away the socialists, they took away the communists, and then they took away him. And there was no one left to protest. My mentor, Dr. William Hermans, actually met Martin Niemöller when he was a bishop. He had visited the United States, and my mentor being from Germany, he made a point of meeting up with him. So Martin Niemöller is just a person like any of us, though he had a clerical collar. But what he has to say about standing up, we're a part of a community. Each one of us needs to speak out when it's necessary to do that. And we have that calling to do that.
Well, I also think that what that song expresses and what Nemo expressed was that no matter who you are, You're not safe when tyranny comes forward. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you don't know how it's going to affect you. In the beginning, in Nazi Germany, it affected the socialists, it affected the Jews, and it affected the gay people right away. But then when it started to get more purification of their Aryan race and so forth, well, then it started getting to those people who were even defending the Sermon on the Mount, like Martin Niemöller. So it is incumbent on us to realize that we are given a voice and it's there for something. And oftentimes it's there to express a matter of justice that needs to be addressed.
Well, that's why it's so important that the media has some level of honesty, you know, that they really report what's going on so people become aware. Because I think oftentimes there's a lot of misinformation and people react to things that they shouldn't be reacting to, you know, because they're not being told the truth.
That's a great example we have in Ida B. Wells.
The whole program is showing that, is showing how people who stand up have issues and how important they really are. And also how difficult it is, you know, not to lose sight of that. It's not easy to stand up. It's not easy to do radio. It's not easy to do anything that has to do with giving any kind of public expression. But if we don't do it, you know, by our silence, we give our consent. By not saying anything, we're saying, hey, it's okay. By not voting, we're saying everything's okay. So there's a lot to think about. That's really for sure. A lot to think about. Well, looks like we're coming to the end of our show. And we're going to do a little medley of a few songs here. And I want to remind folks that you've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And like I do at the end of every show, I remind you, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that.
Dust in the form of shining valleys, oh, where the pure waters rise, and we strolled there together. We none to laugh, don't criticize. Well, I'm the leopard and the lamb lay together.
It was a time of dark and sad song. 7 years with Bella, been and gone. Among the leaders from the days of long ago, a troubled time had taken out its toll. And there was one from Illinois. It's told how Betty broke anew and grueling ground. She went marching in Manhattan up Fifth Avenue, you know, and she wrote a book that turned the world around. Rise up, ye women, or the vintage it will fail, cried old prophet Isaiah, so they say. And they rose up, the mighty women of a new and moving age, and they grew to be the prophets of their day. And there was one from old Montgomery. She rode a bus to freedom, it is told. She went marching by with Martin out of Selma long ago, and into history our Rosa rode. And there were two from Pennsylvania, where liberty is wrung from every bell. Molly Yard went marching to the rally in the sky, and C. Dolores Tucker left as well. Rise up, ye women, or the vintage it will fail, cried old prophet Isaiah, so they say. And they rose up, the mighty women of a new and moving age, and they grew to be the prophets of their day. And let us sing Coretta Scott King. For out from Alabama did she go. There was Bella Scribe Mim Kelber, there was Wendy Wasserstein. We lost them all within a year, you know, but we saluted those among us. Kate Millett took the world on with a pen. Sidney Abbott, Barbara Love, Chesler, Morgan, Gloria, they made the second wave for now and then. Rise up, ye women, or the vintage it will fail, cried old prophet Isaiah, so they say. And they rose up, the mighty women of a new and moving age, and they grew to be the prophets of their day. Rise up, ye women, or the vintage it will fail, cried old prophet Isaiah, so they say. And they rose up, the mighty women of a new and moving age, and they grew to be the prophets of their day. Of their day.
Well, that's it for our show. I want to thank Julie Elliott for being such a wonderful engineer and coming. We are recording live from my kitchen. It's just amazing. I want to thank my co-producer, Ken Norton, for filling in for me and reading some of the dialogue that I could not see for some reason. And I'm going to be going to the eye doctor today, and we'll see what's going on with my eye, that all of a sudden it just, things get blocked out. And like I say at the end of every show, I remind folks that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And also, Women's Spaces will be playing again this evening, Monday evening at 11 o'clock. And I invite people to tune in at that time also. And I'm really excited because I get to listen to myself, which is always a challenge, let me tell you. When you speak out and you're trying to get a message across, you wonder, well, how did I do? And it's amazing to be able to just listen to yourself and evaluate yourself. I think sometimes I'm my worst critic. And just to remind you, by your silence, you give your consent. Speak out. Don't be afraid. The first thing you can do, like I always try to encourage my listeners, get to know your neighbor. You know, get to know your what's going on in your community. See how you can participate. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 10th, 2025.